Good afternoon. Welcome to our podcast, Home Visiting Conversations, which has been developed by the University of New Mexico Center for Development and Disability Home Visiting Consultation Team with the support of the New Mexico Early Childhood Education and Care Department. I am your host, Rachel Williams, a University of New Mexico Center for Development and Disability home visiting consultant, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Peggy McLean, clinical psychologist with the University of New Mexico, about trauma-informed practices. Good afternoon, Peggy. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm excited to hear all the things you're going to share with us today. And I want to thank you for offering your time and expertise to support New Mexico home visitors around how to support families on their caseload who have experienced trauma, and I look forward to learning from you. Shall we dive in?
Sure.
All right, let's get this going. So, during our time together, we would love home visitors to have some tools in their toolbox as they work with families. So, what strategies can home visitors use to build trust and create a sense of emotional safety for families who have experienced trauma?
I think one of the things is I don't necessarily think of any of these strategies or kind of ways of showing up as specific to families who've experienced trauma. I think one of the biggest pieces of trauma-informed care is that you're not specifically doing it to one population. You're just recognizing that trauma is part of many people's lives, and it is really very present in our community and in the populations that we serve, even if we don't know what their experiences are. So it's not about approaching a specific family. It's about approaching all of your work with those skill set so that should there be painful experiences, which I would say most of us have experienced, that those strategies are there to be really trauma-informed and respectful of their experiences. So I think what I often talk about is that the biggest skill that people don't necessarily think about is how regulated are you during a home visit? And so we can talk about trauma-informed care and we can talk about all the like skill sets and strategies to use, but like it really starts with like, how does it feel for someone to be face to face with you specifically, right? And so, and often, what is your level of regulation? And so I talk about like your way of being as like one way to really kind of think about trauma-informed care is like in a visit, does it feel safe for someone to be working with you, right? And then there are like specific like strategies, right? In terms of we think about like how predictable are you for families, right? And then we talk about like trustworthiness, right? And like be trustworthy in terms of like say, do what you say you'll do and be consistent in how you show up with families. But I think like the big pieces for me is like how regulated are you, first of all? And then the other pieces are specific things that you are really mindful of that really builds trust with all families, but also specifically in kind of a trauma-informed approach.
I love that. And I love that you talk about regulation because we often talk about that is what is it looking like before the visit? How are you feeling? How are you preparing? And then also what is it looking like after the visit? So I appreciate that because I sometimes feel that people don't recognize how valuable that is to know where you're at and understand how you're feeling when you enter the home. And so I do appreciate that you mentioned that because I think it sounds so simple, right? And it seems like, but we just overlook it at times. So I appreciate that that's kind of the focus, is where are you and how are you going to show up for the family? So I really do. I love that. So along those similar lines, how can home visitors adapt their engagement strategies when working with families who have a history of trauma and may be hesitant to build those relationships?
Again, like I really don't think about it as specific to working with like a specific family. Like I think that these strategies need to be in place for all families. Because you like the reality is like you might know what their experiences are, but like I don't The reality is, like, you don't know what you don't know, right? And it's not necessarily our job to know what their previous experiences are, right? But I think that, like, the biggest piece, again, like you just talked about, is the regulation piece. But I also think that there's your way of being with a family, right? And then there's a way of being with a family as well, right? So kind of if you think about way of being and way of being with, right? And so part of that is also like individuals, whether it's children, adults, like who've experienced trauma and especially repeated trauma, right, are really, really good at learning to like scan their environments, right, for safety. So if you are dysregulated or if you are uncomfortable, then like those might be interpreted as like safety cues for them, right? Like, I mean, we've all been in a space where someone might be like agitated or dysregulated, and then it impacts like your level of safety as well, right? And so again, there's a reason for like really focusing on regulation, and so that you also you can be experienced as a safe individual as well. And then the other pieces are things in terms of like how a home visitor can like adapt their home visits. Is I think that predictability is one of the biggest trauma-informed strategy and skill. Like people should know what to expect when they meet Rachel, right? Like meaning, and so having these predictable routines in your home visits, like you start your visit a similar way, you end your visit a similar way, helps them kind of know like this is what I do with Rachel, right? And that can kind of like help with like the unpredictable like nature of some of like our interactions, that they actually know that like when I'm with Rachel, she usually starts with this, we usually do this, and we usually end this way. And that like routine really is where like felt safety is also kind of developed, right? I think another piece with all families, but I think is especially important if caregivers have experienced like especially kind of like difficult experiences with systems, right? Is just be dependable and be trustworthy. Like we talk about trustworthiness and safety and relationships and trauma-informed care, but that means you are trustworthy, you are dependable. Like, and so really kind of being clear, transparent, like communicating with families and following up with them when you say you're going to follow up, right? I think is a big piece. Like, I mean, it's similar to how we develop kind of relationships with anybody, right? Like, is like, what are the things that like you look for, right? To know that that person is safe and reliable, and families are doing the exact same thing with home visitors, early intervention providers, psychologists, and consultants, right? Yeah.
Well, and I again, that's how we build those trusting relationships, right? By showing up, by being consistent, by having those routines. And sometimes it seems that people don't recognize that they actually like routines. But then when it happens, it's comfortable, right? It brings a sense of calm with that person. And that's what I hear in home visiting too, is oftentimes home visitors, they're the ones that bring that calm because, like you said, they have a specific way that they operate during their home visits. And so the family looks forward to their visits, especially because they're like, oh, I know that this person is going to bring, me to hopefully center because we're going to be doing these specific things. So I really like that you brought up routine because I think that that really, again, brings it just helps us to be calm, especially when we're experiencing many things. Like you said, most people have already experienced trauma in one way or in another And so it's so important. And I really do like that you brought those up. So our last question is, how can home visitors maintain their emotional well-being and continue to provide compassionate, high-quality support to families when working with, I guess just when working with any family, like we've mentioned?
I know home visiting is hard work. I mean, I know I've been in the early childhood field for quite some time, right? And know like we are the holders of family stories, right? And it doesn't end at the end of that visit, right? We drive home and we think about like even as now I'm more of a supervisor, and I hold all the families that like I think about in that we talk about in supervision, and I'm driving home and I'm thinking about those families, right? I'm wondering, right? And so I'm so aware of just like how important this work is and how it also means like holding the experiences and the stories of families and really knowing them in depth, right? And it means giving part of yourself too, right? It means kind of being completely present for that family for that period of time. And that always comes at a cost, right? For yourself. Like you are there in service of others, right? I say this all the time when I'm doing fan training is like at the end of the day, no wonder we're often really tired, right? It's just because we have been completely like present and aware of what the other person is experiencing and responding to that, right? So again, I go back with routines, right? And I go back with rituals that are really important. And that's going to look really, it's going to be really important to the individual. Like you can't really tell someone like do this and this is going to like make this work sustainable, but it's really finding what are like the routines and rituals that are important for you in your work that you are doing both during your work. So like moment to moment kind of like awareness of your regulation. What do you do before visits? What do you do after visits? What do you do after work too, right? That is really there so that you can continue to do this work kind of in a sustainable way. And so the answer to that is going to be different for each person, right? And so, but what I think is important is we don't do it unless we have a routine. Like you can have the best intentions in the world. I mean, even today, I was like, I have not eaten.
Oh no.
Meaning,
Well,
like,
that's not
it's
good.
like, well, like I've eaten breakfast, but like I'm joking, but I'm actually not. Like it's because I actually today wasn't great about my routines, right? And that meant that like if I and I'm saying this just to like make it real, right? That like it's like I ha like I know myself and I need to kind of like be really, really intentional about what am I doing throughout the day so that I can continue to be present for the other person, right? And I could see an exact like consequence to that in how we even started our setup for this kind of podcast. I was like all over the place, right? And so like the reason that I'm saying this is like routines are there to ensure that you are actually taking care of yourself. Like I often talk about in trainings that like the goal is not to white knuckle it during the day. And I think most people and myself included white knuckle it throughout the day, right? So what are like the routines that you do that are manageable within your day-to-day life, right? Like the reality is I'm not going to be able to go and sit for 90 minutes and have this wonderful lunch. Like that's not the way of my life. And it's also not like how I kind of approach things, right? But I can commit to like really being like, okay, how am I checking in with myself before whatever meeting session I have with someone, right? Like, am I committing to like being hydrated? Am I committing to eating, you know? And then what do I do after the day is done, right? So that like I can be present for what comes next, right? And so again, I think sustainability in the work is around like really noticing our patterns of like blowing through things, like white knuckling through things, and really having a space to like the routines day to day, and also having a space to reflect on how the work is impacting you, right? And the hope is that folks have reflective supervision, right? That it's consistent and predictable, where they feel safe to talk about like how the work is impacting them and how it's impacting how they show up in the work for families. And then there's also this whole personal piece too around like what are the things outside of work, outside of reflective supervision that are really key for you to sustaining this work? And that can look really different for like based on what really resonates to an individual. I love that. I think, it makes me think of just the awareness, right? We have to be aware of how we are so that we can be present with our families, because that's where we hear the things too. And so if we have no awareness of what works for us, we could just be all over the place. And so it's so important. I love that you mentioned that it starts with us and what we need to sustain, like you said, because again, with getting bombarded all the time with different stories, I always say family stories and home visitors have multiple stories they're trying to deal with. Imagine if there was just no space to go with that.
And I think there's a lot of parallel, whether it's like, being a home visitor or being a therapist or being a teacher, right? Like, meaning, I think
Yes.
like this is when you are working in service of other people and in a helping profession, like, we all know that like part of our job is like holding and carrying the stories and experiences of families. And you have to figure out a way to, like, I'll often talk about like metabolizing that, right? But what works for Peggy is going to be different than what works for Rachel, right? But I think that it's, yes, it's self-care outside of work. I really don't love when there's conversations about self-care. I know for me, sometimes I get almost like irritated with some conversations because it's like, yeah, you need to make sure that you are, like some of the more superficial conversations about like going to a massage and this, where I'm like, you have no idea what my life looks like
Oh,
I leave
right.
work and I have, a full household to manage, and all, like, a lot of us, right? Like, meaning sometimes self-care is a very sometimes privileged like perspective, but like, and so I try to move it into like, what are you doing within the routines of reality of your life, right? Like, meaning, how, what does your drive home look like? We all have to have a drive home, right? And just like, and what is realistic for you, and not to start feeling like it's something else I need to add to my life, right? Like, it's what is important for you to be present and to be able to do this work, like, at minimal cost for yourself, right? Like, there is always a cost to this work, but like, and what works for me is going to be different than what works for someone else.
Yes, and I know throughout you've mentioned the routines, right? That's it really is in the routines, and I do appreciate that you mentioned that because sometimes people do think of it as these extravagant things, but it really is the small things, the little things that you're doing to sustain. So I definitely like that you pinpoint that and that's where your focus is because again, like you said, I think it can be overwhelming for people to think I have to do these other things to make sure that I'm okay when really it is embedded within their routines. And that's how we can be good examples to families too, right? Is this these are things that are working and I don't spend any money and this is why and I feel good because I do these particular things so that can, inform them a little bit more too about what they can sustain to take care of themselves. So what a wonderful experience this has been. I definitely feel the passion. You're just so natural with the things that you say. So love your insight, your strategies, thoughts you've provided to support the home visiting community here in New Mexico. And we absolutely are, as always, are grateful for your time and dedication to the work and the ongoing support that you provide in so many different ways. So additionally, we have prepared a tips and resources sheet with advice and tips to support and enhance your strategies to support families who have or are experiencing trauma or any of your families, really. So, if you have any questions in regards to trauma-informed practices, please continue to discuss with your supervisor, colleagues, and home visiting support team. We hope you will join us in our upcoming podcast hosted by the UNM Center for Development and Disability Home Visiting Conversations. Take care and stay well.